The Holy Gospel this day comes from Matthew in the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and then put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it out on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And I invite you to find that, just have that note card and pen handy, because we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So today, I want to talk about discipleship. This, I think, is what today's gospel is all about. Discipleship is sort of a fancy church word that we use, but really, at its heart, it means following Jesus. Following Jesus to learn his ways. And as of late, I've really come to like the use of the word apprentice as a stand-in for disciples, because I think it implies both being a learner and a practitioner of Jesus' ways, learning and practicing. And today's gospel is tied to last week when we read the Beatitudes. And it's there that Jesus teaches us the politics of God's kingdom, the radical reordering of values and belonging that have real-world implications for us, real-world implications for our public life and community life and how power is used and how authority is used and economics and human dignity. So learning and practicing Jesus' ways, those things transform us. They give us a new way of living and relating to each other, a new lens through which to see the world. Because when the world says, "Hate your enemies," Jesus says, "Love them." When the world says, "Seek revenge," Jesus says, "Seek forgiveness and reconcile." When the world says, "Violence," Jesus says, "Strive for peace." When the world says, "Hoard all that you have," Jesus says, "Share." Jesus gives us a new way of living in the world. And I think that Jesus is saying in our text that our lives as his apprentices are meant to be an outward expression of an inward promise. An outward expression of an inward promise. God's unconditional love and radical grace live inside of us as a gift through the Holy Spirit, and we live differently as a result. We share these gifts with the world. And in today's reading, Jesus says that you are, not you should eventually hope for this to happen or should aim for this, but that you are salt and light for the world. Our apprenticeship is meant for something, not just to be sitting in a jar or on a shelf under a basket. We don't practice God's ways for glory or attention. I think it's that by simply practicing these things, that over time, We simply become these things. We simply become salt and light when we experience such a deep and abundant life. It's then that we become salt and light. This is what it means that Jesus means when he says to his disciples, "Let your light shine before others, so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Now we hear that phrase, we hear that verse in worship occasionally. Does anyone know when? When do we hear that? Baptism, Pastor Marcia, yes, baptism, right? Baptism. And we also hear it in our affirmation of baptism on Confirmation Sunday when our confirmands come to affirm their baptism, right? These are the words that we hear at those places. Because you see, we Lutherans have a particular way of talking about discipleship. And it all begins at baptism. So I'm going to invite you to come on a journey with me this morning as we do some things together. First, I want you to grab the hymnal that's next to your seat. So grab that hymnal and turn to page 236. Now it's page 236, not hymn 236. So it's in the first third of the hymnal, first third in the hymnal. So it should be the smaller numbers at the bottom of the pages. 236. Now, if I have done this right, which I hope I have, you will see it's our affirmation of our baptism liturgy. And this is what we commonly use on Confirmation Sunday. And there's words there that say, "Do you intend to continue in the covenant that God made with you in holy baptism?" Do you see that? Is that there? Raise your hand if you're... Okay, am I on the right page? Okay, good. All right. "Do you intend to continue in the covenant that God made with you in holy baptism? To one, live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and finally, to strive for justice and peace in all the earth." And the response of our confirmands is, "Yes." Right? They answer yes. Now, they say it in more classical Lutheran language, "Yes, and I ask God to help and guide me," right? But those are the questions that we ask. We also ask these same things when we have new members join our congregation. And this same liturgy is one that we use, we could use at any time for us gathered here. To affirm our baptism, to affirm our commitment to discipleship and to following Jesus. These are the promises that give shape and framework to our lives as Lutherans. This is how we understand what it means to follow Jesus in our lives. These things. Now you can put your hymnal away. And now it's time to grab your note card and pen. Okay, so I want you to take your card, and I want you to have it vertical, and I want you to draw a figure eight, just like this. Have it maybe take up, draw it in the center, have it take up, about 60% of your card. Okay? So it looks like this. See, Sue, I have props today, too. Yeah, showing up props. Okay. So... now, what I want you to do is, once you have that done, I want you to turn it sideways. Because what I wanted you to do was draw an infinity symbol, but this drawing the eight makes it easier. So you have your infinity symbol now. All right? Now, the infinity symbol, it's a line that's connected to itself, right? And if you were to trace along that line, there's a continuous coming into one side and then going out to the next side and then coming back into the other side. It's continuous. It goes on and on. This represents a Lutheran rhythm to our lives. A Lutheran rhythm to our lives. Now, next step. Draw a large dot in the center where the lines intersect. It's going to look like this. Draw a large dot where the lines intersect. And then on your card under that, I want you to write the word worship. worship. Worship, my friends, is the gathering and sending point of our lives. It is the center of our lives together and the center of our, here in community, it is the center. So now the left side is what I want to talk about for a little bit. The left side of that infinity symbol is all about what we do together here in worship. Here when we're gathered together as the body of Christ. Have you ever noticed that our worship is divided into four sections? Have you noticed that? If you were to look at your bulletin, you would see four headings in every worship service we do, except for like midweek. So, you know, there's some special things. But Sunday, there's four sections to our worship. It begins with, any guesses? Gathering, yes, gathering. And then it moves on to what we're doing now. Hearing. It's God's word, so it's gathering, word, and then something we do together here and that we eat. Meal, yes, the sacrament, right? Yes, so we meal, and then the last one is sending. Yes, right, right. So we gather together, we're drawn in by the Holy Spirit, bringing us into community, and God promises to meet us here, right? And then we hear God's word. We hear God's word in different ways. We hear God's word through the lens of what Luther calls law and gospel. It's a Lutheran way of hearing. This means that God's word both challenges us by naming truths and convicting us, and then brings us healing, freedom, and life. That God's word has the power to unbind us. And then we share in the Lord's meal. We come together here, and we are welcomed by Christ, and we receive his body and blood, which brings forgiveness and strength and nourishes us in faith. And then, sometimes the part of service that I think that we maybe forget the most, we are sent. We are sent from this place. We go forth fed and nourished by Christ into the arenas of our life. There's a reason every Sunday that we recess from here. Have you noticed that? Like, we're singing the last hymn, and then all of us recess outwards, go towards the door, and the doors open, and then there's a dismissal. Right? There's a reason for that. It's symbolically leaving. It's symbolically leading the way out into our lives. We don't do that just because it looks fancy. We do it because we're being sent out into the world. So on the left side of your infinity symbol, I want you to draw along the edges. I want you to write the three words from our baptismal promises from earlier. It's going to look like this. The first word is live. Remember, it's live among God's faithful people. The second word is hear, because we hear God's word. And lastly, the last word on that side is share, because we share in the Lord's meal. You with me so far? Okay, good. All right, good, good, good. We live among God's people. We hear the word of God, we share in the Lord's Supper. Now let's move to the right side of the infinity symbol. This is where the three other baptismal promises live that we read about earlier. This is our Monday through Saturday lives, or what I like to call the church deployed, right? Because the church is not the building. This building is not the church. You are the church. No matter where you go, you are the church. You are church deployed. Church deployed. You are the church when you're doing your vocations and when with family and friends and at school and at work and taking care of people. And that is when you are the church. You are serving in the ways that God has ordained you through your baptism to be in the world. So you are the church deployed. Now, on the right side of the infinity symbol, we're going to write three of the other baptismal promise words, but I'm going to give them one at a time to you. Okay? One at a time. So the first one is proclaim. We are called to proclaim God's word to our family and friends and coworkers and community in word and deed. St. Francis famously said, Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. Here's the thing. We proclaim God's word with the totality of our lives, with words of encouragement to the people around us, with words of grace, and with our good works. And I believe too, friends, and this is important, I believe too that we proclaim God's word with our failures and our flaws too. We are not perfect, and Jesus does not call us to be perfect. Nowhere in Scripture will you see God's words or Jesus' words saying, go and be perfect. We're not called to be perfect. Instead, when we cause harm, when we fall short of practicing love for our friends and our enemies alike, the way we respond by admitting harm, seeking forgiveness, and then making amends, that speaks louder than any other thing we could do as Christians. It's how we respond to our flaws and our failures that speaks amazing words about God's love for the world. We are not perfect, but what we practice together, forgiveness, seeking reconciliation, when we practice these things, we have the capacity to change the world. Because those are not the values in our world, right? But we have the language and the ability to practice those things. We can change the world. So here's the second word. The second word is serve. Serve. We are called to serve all people following the example of Jesus. And we do this not only by feeding and clothing people, but also at our jobs and at school with friends and family members, with spouses and kids, and in our teams and community groups. We do this simply by being faithful, doing our things faithfully and with gratitude. There's a saying that's attributed to Luther, that a Christian shoemaker does not demonstrate faithful service by putting little crosses on shoes. They demonstrate faithful service by simply making good quality shoes. Using our gifts, using your gifts for the sake of the world, faithfully and with gratitude for the common good, that is service too, my friends. That is service too. Now here's the final word. The final word, strive. Strive. We are called to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. It is God's intention for you and I and all people, regardless of religion, to live in peace and in right relationship with one another, where the dignity and holiness of human life is preserved. The church is called to use our voice to strive for these things and to encourage others to do that as well for the sake of all people. There's a great quote from Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He writes that there comes a point where we need to stop just pulling people out of the river, but instead go upstream to figure out why they're falling in the first place. That is what justice means. That is justice. That's what justice means. That's what we are to strive for as people of God. And this connects closely to our first reading from Isaiah, right? God has some hard words for the people of Israel at that time. God tells them that their worship is hollow when they neglect the poor and the hungry and the oppressed. God calls the people of Israel and calls us to loose those bonds of injustice, to share what we have with the hungry, and to care for those who are in need. That is part of our baptismal living. And when we do those things, that is when we are truly salt and light in the world. Service is not separate from worship. Service to our neighbor is not separate from worship. In fact, it is how we carry worship. Because worship is the dot, right? It's the center. It's how we carry worship into all of our lives. Service is not separated from worship. So now we've made it around the infinity symbol, right? We've made it all the way around. Worship gathers us, And then it also sends us. And for Lutherans, this is what it means to live out our baptismal calling in the world. These are not meant to be just demands on us, but rather they're actually gifts from us, or from God to us. They're God's gifts to us. Because when we practice these things, over time, we're transformed. We're transformed. This is how God changes us and leads us into deeper faith and deeper, abundant life. We discover things about ourselves and others and about God. That's where transformation is. Jesus calls you and I into a relationship of unconditional love and radical grace. That is the good news for us that never ceases. And living out our baptismal life daily, that is how we respond to God's love and grace. So, my friends, here's my question for you this morning. And you might consider thinking about this for a moment and writing answers on the back of your card. In what ways in your church-deployed life do you proclaim, serve, and strive in your life? In what ways do you do this? Take a moment. Take a moment and think about what you might write on the back of the card. Friends, thank you for going on this journey with me this morning through our baptismal living. I invite you to place this card somewhere where you will see it often and remember the gift of your baptism and the baptismal rhythm that God has called you to, and that maybe over time you also might add to it and be thinking about it in your everyday life. My friends, God loves you very much. God calls you to experience radical grace and unconditional love, because those things never cease. We only live deeper into them. In Jesus' name, amen.